everyone, Bob WP here, and welcome to Woo Biz Chat. We do the Woo Podcast Show. Woo! Woo! This episode is brought to you by Kinsta, offering a high-performance hosting platform with managed WordPress hosting powered by Google Cloud, ensuring fast load times and robust security. I'll tell you more about Kinsta later in the episode, but for now, let's dive right in.
Hello, hello, Woo Builders, and welcome back to another episode of Do the Woo, the podcast where we dive into all things WooCommerce, community, and the future of work. I'm Emma, and joining me today, as per usual, is my co-host Adam. How are you doing today?
Per usual, Emma, you've been gone. You left me with Bob, but it was a wonderful last episode.
True. But I'm back.
Emma, it's good to be here. I'm excited about this episode of Woo Biz Chat. So everybody, you need to grab a cup of cocoa, maybe some tea. If you're hungry, a nice steaming mug of butternut squash soup, whatever helps you, sit down, focus, because there is going to be an incredible amount of joy and fun, but really some value in how we use LinkedIn. I've got some stuff to learn here, and joining us to talk about this incredible tool and how it can help you and your agency and what you do in the world of Woo is Nicole. Would you mind introducing yourself a little bit for us? And Nicole, thank you so much for being here. Tell us a little bit about you and what you're doing here.
Oh, Emma and Adam, thank you so much for welcoming me. I am so excited to finally be able to do Woo-wooing on the Woo Business Chat. So I'm dialing in from London today, where I'm based. I am a LinkedIn trainer and marketing coach, particularly for digital agency owners who want to raise their visibility with LinkedIn, who might be a little bit hesitant about the platform. And I know we're going to talk about some of the LinkedIn burning walls of fear. I help them with coaching by creating a strategy with them and really just helping them to see the fun of the social media platform. So hopefully this episode will really just reflect all that good learning. And yes, LinkedIn can be serious, but we can also have fun on it. So thank you so much for having me.
Yes, this is going to be a lot of fun because I hope that I can take a lot of what you say, even though if it's for an agency that I can use in my own personal branding, especially on LinkedIn. So I guess my first question would be, what is the first step if you're a complete newbie into the ideation or something into building your strategy for this?
Yeah, great question, Emma. So I always think when you're starting off on any new social media platform or perhaps of any kind of digital marketing channel, it's just really good to hang out on the platform and to familiarize yourself with it. So just to go on LinkedIn, and you know, the good thing, it's actually lots of interesting content on there. Lots of people are going there for networking, for learning. So you are bound to find something which is interesting to you, whether you maybe are an architectural business or you run a design company or you're part of a bigger company and you're a content manager. So just spend some time on LinkedIn and see what you enjoy as a LinkedIn user yourself. Also, that makes it a little bit less scary, right? Because you will see that, right, Adam, it's not that formal any longer.
So that's one of my questions I've been thinking about. And we talk about personal brand versus business. How do you think about this kind of dual hats that we might wear? Is that, hey, my name is Adam Weeks. I also own or run an agency. And those are two different things. How do you think about using LinkedIn when it comes to the individual versus the business that you're running?
Mm-hmm. Great question, Adam. It's something I get asked a lot. So particularly if you're an agency founder or you're a business development manager in a bigger company or on an agency, there's you as the brand and then there's your company. Now, often you wouldn't be working at a company if you didn't really buy into their mission, into their values, into their culture, you know, why they do what they do. I can see Emma nodding here. So hopefully, for our viewers, so hopefully you can make some links between what you are about as a person and why you either run your own business or you work for a company you really believe in. And there is also this trend, and I'm so pleased to see this, that companies really encourage their employees, their senior teams, their middle managers, people on the ground to have the customer contact, to step out on LinkedIn and become more visible. It's a technical term we call employee advocacy. In particular, it's just people saying, hey, we have this new project, we're excited about it, or we have a new position, do you know anyone in your network? All that good stuff we want to include for companies. So yes, it is separate, but there's lots and lots of links. And I always say, you know, if you are so out of sync with who you are and who you what your company is about, and perhaps it isn't the perfect fit eventually. I know we don't always have that choice, but hopefully we can embrace the opportunity of working for companies where we really believe in their purpose, in their values, and their cultures.
Nice. Are there any tips or tricks that you would recommend somebody getting into, like their first post, or if it's whether for themselves or for their company?
Yeah, Emma, do you know? I remember that feeling. I used to be the marketing director, and we had the fanciest agencies like writing all the LinkedIn posts for us. And, you know, I was in charge of the corporate strategy and all that nice stuff. So the minute I then had to write something for myself, I rather wanted to go to the dentist. And frankly, I don't like going to the dentist. We had bad dentist experiences in Eastern Germany where I grew up. So I think the best is just realization that this sort of, oh my God, what will people think of me? How will I be perceived? I have nothing interesting to say. I'm really nervous. It's a really human quality. A lot of us feel that. Even really established content creators still get nervous about posting on the platform. So that's the first thing I want to say to you and to our listeners. It's a really human feeling. Don't ignore it. I would say if you can, embrace that fear. So you have that fear. Then, okay, how do I post the first time? So for me personally, what worked is at the time I got my personal trainer, sounds very posh, but it wasn't very posh. I said to her, look, I'm going to post this. And if I don't post this by the end of play, you can kick me in the dot, 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 dot. So having that accountability. So if there's someone on your team or perhaps a business buddy you have, where you can say, hey, I'm about to post on LinkedIn. I'm really scared. If I don't do this, please either bring me a cup of coffee and let me have a cry, or kick me in the... So look for that accountability. Now, if you're not ready to post, then another good way of starting is actually, so we said about spending time on the platform, just starting to comment. Because, you know, it is a sociable platform. So if you find a post you like, maybe say something, and try to say something beyond the two or three words. Hey, that's great. Or thanks for sharing it. Do you know, reflect on what you see in the post and try to move along the dialogue, because it is a dialogue. So if you're not ready to post yet, that's fine. Start commenting. That's a really good superpower to develop. So I hope that's helpful.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. I'm going to cut you off, Adam. And
sure you are.
I'm back and I have so many questions, but just because it was like you told us all the nice things to do, but are there some like common mistakes that are happening as well that you see that like agencies or personal brands are doing and what we should stay away from?
Really good, thoughtful question. So I believe if you step out on LinkedIn and your intention is to sound like everyone else and to use AI copy, which you haven't edited to sound like you, you're wasting your time. You are wasting your time because you're just going to be sounding like everyone else, and there's no way to differentiate you, your company, from your competition. So the first mistake I see too much is that people are just, oh, well, we're going to go on LinkedIn and just going to copy. This template has worked for someone. I'm going to copy exactly that style because that person is really famous. So that's one thing. Or that they're way too formal. You know, it's almost like, you remember like when you had to write reports or when you work with senior management and you have board meetings and you get the board notes and no one reads them because they're so boring. If you use that kind of style of writing on LinkedIn, like really long, really formal, it's not going to work because of the sociable nature of the platform. So decide to be different. Have a strategy behind that. Don't be too formal. Really think about people who are reading your posts. You know, they're probably going to be on a mobile. They might be in between meetings. What can you do to stop them in the scroll? What bit can you offer to your audience that's really helpful, entertaining, and it sounds like you? So both are two mistakes. Now, the third one, and we're going to just mention three. So let's say you post it, then you just run away. So it's both posting and ghosting. But by which I mean you post, you know, you've done a good job. So you invite dialogue and then you're not around to acknowledge comments. You know, if I comment on Adam's post, hopefully Adam will appreciate that Nicole is taking some time out of her busy day and say, hey, Nicole, thanks so much. Tell me a little bit more. So it's really important that the days you're posting, that you think about, okay, am I actually around to deal with any of the engagement? Because when you do, and you know, there's a lot of technical algorithm stuff I could throw at you, and I'm not going to, but when you stick around, LinkedIn can see that you're engaging with your community, that there's lots of relevant conversations being open, and it's going to promote your future posts more, because this is what LinkedIn is about. They want us to be on the platform. We are their products. So yeah, bear that in mind. Don't post a ghost. Of course, we all have a life, and it's really important. You know, Emma and I, we've just been chatting about Christmas markets and how much we like going. So go to the Christmas market, have your life. But maybe a day later, come and check in. Has anyone said anything? Can I acknowledge that? Can I be kind?
I am guilty of this posting and ghosting.
Ghosting. Not Emma Young.
I am.
Those are really good. I like, you know, be a person is, you know, kind of what I'm feeling like, you know, is that be your unique self and let that show in your LinkedIn posting. I think that's really good. One thing I do want to ask is, people, we're getting to this like, all right, here's some really good ways to use LinkedIn. There's a lot of potential here. But let me step back one bit. And I guess another question is, why LinkedIn? I've already got Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and Blue Sky and Mastodon and on and on. And I've, you know, Slack is a big deal. I have all kind, you know, why LinkedIn? Why is this the platform that you're so excited about?
Do you know, personally, I think like digital health is really important. And when you bring up all the names of all these channels, I personally immediately feel completely overwhelmed. Because I always say, okay, so pick one channel which works for your audience. Hopefully it's also a channel you can learn to enjoy. Because yes, we do social media for our business, but don't let it interrupt your day-to-day life. So first of all, please look out for your digital health. You know, have some time off. Now, look, you are asking the wrong person about my LinkedIn, because obviously I have chosen it with my area of specialism. But the reason why I did is because I felt at the time, out of all the platforms, you know, as a woman, I go onto Instagram, I was on Twitter, and particularly on Instagram, I got these really weird, hey, Nicole, do you want to do this ad? And tell me a bit more about that. And it was creepy, and I was getting really fed up with it, if I'm honest.
Okay.
Twitter, no, look, there's a lot of, obviously, we won't go there. So let's just say your objective is to market your business. Maybe you want to work with fellow marketeers, or you're looking for SaaS company founders. Now, we know statistically speaking, you know, LinkedIn has got about 9 billion users worldwide. Actually, only a small percentage, only 3 million people of those post weekly. And I think this is where it's such a huge opportunity. That's 3 million out of 9 billion is less than 1%. So this is your opportunity. You don't actually have to do all that much if you do it well to get noticed by your ideal audience. And particularly if you're a professional services company, you're a designer, you're in the tech world, LinkedIn is such a big part of your digital footprint, right? You know, you Google someone and the LinkedIn search results will always come up on top. So yes, for me, it's about people are on a business frame of mind, so I don't feel I'm interrupting people's day. I don't have to do mad dancing videos if that's not your kind of thing.
Only on Tuesdays.
And, you know, you can see over there. So, yes, traditionally, as you said earlier, Adam and Emma, LinkedIn started out as a platform where we just set our CV and that was it. Yeah, we went there for finding a job. But nowadays, you know, you have like emojis, you have a smiley reaction, you can go live, you can have an audio event, you can run an event. The platform is continuously evolving to keep us longer on there and to make it more enjoyable. As a marketing agency owner, I don't think you have a choice because this is where your potential suppliers will check you out. But I am a little bit biased. You know, I did do the UK LinkedIn content creator program where I was chosen amongst 30,000 applicants. It was 100 of us. So I had coaching directly by LinkedIn. So I am biased. I just want to say that. But yeah, for me, it was really practical reasons. It was easy to get footprint on LinkedIn. and people are in a business frame of mind. And I didn't have to dance on video.
I think that bias comes from a reason that you really like that. So that's perfectly okay. It's like, well, why do you have a bias? It's because you have found value in this platform. Just this morning, I was introducing someone on Slack and I was like, okay, this is a person, this other person has never met before. I grabbed their LinkedIn profile and that was how I introduced them to this other person. This was my way of giving context. And so, yeah, be biased all day long.
I know I'll be really enthusiastic, but do you know, if I have a choice as an agency, either updating my website, which we all know if it's a team of us, you know, Emma's nodding, she's a content marketeer, or just updating my LinkedIn profile, both have the power to be our best sales tool 24/7 in this digital world. Arguably, it's much easier to update your personal profile and your company page on LinkedIn than it is to do a whole new website. But yeah, it's that digital currency. This is why I always compare to being at an event, right, Emma, at a virtual event. How do you introduce yourself? Your LinkedIn bio is part of that now.
Mm-hmm. I should update mine. Mine just says something about like organized chaos.
No, come on, that
is a pretty good example of me.
It's a good talking point.
But yeah, you were talking a little bit about like how you can build your own authority and trust within the readers and posting things that they would like to read and to think about them rather than just posting AI or some stuff that you can't differentiate yourself from somebody else. But how would you kind of go about positioning yourself as an expert in your niche? I see a lot of those LinkedIn sharing stuff about you're one of the few experts about this. How helpful are those? Should I be doing them? Do people look at them?
Emma, great question. And I must say, when someone says, build your authority, I just want to yawn.
Sorry. Moving on.
No, but this is usually how it's positioned, right? Build trust, build authority. Now, really, for me, it's all about you becoming a relatable expert. And the fact that you just described your LinkedIn bio, you have in there organized chaos, that's a talking point that's relatable. Right. Now, you asked me specifically about collaborative articles, which is a tool LinkedIn introduced a while ago, which is AI written articles, collaborative articles. And at the time, people were invited to comment and it was relatively easy because it was written by AI and it was really easy just to give a human friendly perspective. And when you did that regularly, you had this golden badge, which said something, something influencer. And a lot of us went for that. I think it might be discontinuing. So how do you show that you're an expert? Well, you said it, Emma. First of all, who are you an expert for? What is your expertise based on? What are the kind of things that keep those people awake at night? So I know, Adam, you talk a lot about influence building. And I'm not going to yawn at that word.
So she's too tired from yawning at my word.
I'm probably just determined to cut through all that sort of corporate speak, right? It's related to LinkedIn because that's why people are so bored with it. So, you know, what are these sort of issues people care about? So yesterday I talked to this community leader, big agency community, Digital Bureau in the US, and we talked about his sort of area of expertise. And actually one area of expertise was the human element of agency leadership, because he brought a really unique perspective to that. He led several agencies and he's now helping other agency owners grow there. So rather than being all about scale, take over the world, which obviously that's good as well, it was about the human element. Now, by sharing personal stories and your personal insights and your personal expertise, that becomes relatable. And in turn, you build trust, you get noticed, you build your authority, and you get seen as the experts. Because essentially, for the people you want to get known by, you want to be the number one go-to person, right? So have that niche, know who you're for, because if you go in there and just, I'm going to just talk to everyone, I'm going to appeal to middle manager and maybe HR directors and maybe people who want to change their jobs, it's just too much. Who do you want to be relevant for? Who's going to be your community of fans? Because you are building a community, hopefully.
That's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
No, it's good stuff. Like, I'm just like, yeah, like, taking notes. And I really appreciate how all of these social media networks are, it's a tool. And what you're going to get out of it more depending on what you put into it. And one of the things that I have been really impressed with as I've been looking on your LinkedIn feed is that you truly are doing the things that you preach. And I've honestly been a little bit distracted. It's like, oh, wow, look what she has here. Like, oh my goodness, like this is amazing too. If you were to distill what things that you feel that of the things that you, energy that you put into LinkedIn, where are you getting the most out of it? Because there's all these different things. There's, you know, you can do surveys, you can put posts, you can like, where do you feel that your energy is best spent on your personal, on your LinkedIn?
So I've been fortunate enough that I had my biggest leads for you on LinkedIn over the years. And, you know, I position myself as helping agency leaders to land their best clients. Because I think that's where the magic actually comes in, that you can show who you are, what your agency culture is, your business culture is, and attract people who really would fit that vibe. Because you don't have to be too, you can't be too stuffy. You're not allowed to be stuffy. You're encouraged to share your story. So, you know, you said you look at my profile. Thank you for that, Adam. I looked at your guys' profiles as well.
I have work to do.
No, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, you can sort of think, okay, why do I do what I do? And that sounds really enough, really, right? But what's motivated me? And I'm talking to our viewers, really. Why are you in the job you're in, working for the company? Why did you change directions? Why did you found your own business? You know, it's not an easy thing to do. And all these stories, human first stories, when you share them, they'll connect with a certain type of person. And as you become more skilled at it, you actually manage to package your expertise into those stories, because we all know when we go to that event and someone just throws all these stats at you and all these logical, really important things, you just totally forget, right? But what connects with you is someone who might have made you laugh or cry. I'm not saying don't make people cry, but you know, tapping into different emotive responses. To me, Adam was saying he's doing that a little bit. On LinkedIn, you have all these different formats, so that you can actually tell a story and you can share learning points and you can ask questions which open up a discussion. So I think LinkedIn is great for that. And you can write, you can have a little, you know, vertical videos are really popular right now. You can create a poll. A poll is amazing, you know, if you're doing some research or if you want to have a lead gen post where you can reach out to people afterwards. So there's continuously all these different kind of tools. And another one I really like is events. So let's say, Adam, if you want to reach marketing directors in non-for-profits, you can go on LinkedIn, the search bar, you can search for events. Once you register for them, you can connect with the people who are at the event, so you have something in common and you're not just reaching out to them cold. So it's the networking aspect which I most value. You know, you guys know that Bob invited me to this. We met at a virtual event, but we kept in touch via LinkedIn. And this bit I really value. Now, as it happens, 90% of my clients are based outside the UK, usually in the US and Canada. So for that, LinkedIn is amazing. But, you know, you can keep in touch with the kind of people you want to keep in touch with. So it's that social aspect. And LinkedIn is really designed for these personal connections, which is why I always, when I talk to bigger businesses or agencies, you have got to show something of yourself. You can't hide behind this fancy logo. No one cares about your logo or your corporate brand. And look, I'm a marketing director myself, so I'm passionate about these things. But it's that personal we connect with, right? Purchasing decisions are made, yes, because of data, yes, because you guys can do the job, but also because people can see how it would feel to work with you. And the beauty is of LinkedIn, your 4 out of 5 active LinkedIn members are decision makers. So this is a statistic by LinkedIn. So obviously they would say it's amazing. But even HubSpot says content is twice as likely to convert than it is across other platforms, or 70% of people see LinkedIn as the most trusted platform. So if you combine that with the power of storytelling and showing your people, showing your culture, it's a really awesome marketing tool. But I did say I was biased. But, you know,
okay,
don't be confused by all the different formats. I don't know why, but I always see this like a staircase. Audience, I'm not drawing a staircase, but just aim for 3 steps above you. You know, don't compare yourself to people who are already on the top of the staircase. They've been probably doing it for years. Look at yourself when you started. Look at content creators you like when they started. You know, it's a learning journey. Let yourself experiment. It's okay. What can happen? Maybe you make a spelling mistake. You can delete it. You can edit it. It's not like you're going onto a big advertising billboard and you spend hundreds of thousands of buying the ad, of printing it. It's not like that. It's a digital platform you can edit. So experiment.
If you are looking for hosting via cloud servers for your client sites, consider checking out Kinsta. With their container technology, you are assured of no shared resources. Plus, you get global CDN, edge caching, and Cloudflare Enterprise for all your sites. It doesn't stop there, though. Auto backup, staging, plug-in vulnerability alerts, and uptime monitoring comes with 24/7 support that you can expect from humans. Add to this, for agencies, look into their partner programs with some nice extras, plus an account manager and custom plans to meet the needs of your client's sites. All this and more, just head over to kinsta.com.
Is there an example that comes to mind of like an agency that you worked with or maybe didn't work with that was able to transform their brand? And maybe what were the steps that you guys did?
Yes, so maybe if I base this on an agency owner first of all, because usually what I find, you know, it's really important for leaders to tackle their own LinkedIn fears first, because then they can really lead from the front, so to say, and encourage their team members to tackle their own fears. So I worked with this agency owner, amazing guy, one of the top five digital transformation agencies in Canada. Really creative. Oh my God, I learned so much from this guy. But so many topics, it actually really caused overwhelm. And sometimes having too many ideas, it's not a good thing, right? Because you don't know how to focus. And also you don't know how to make it relatable for your audience. And this is really where we saw the biggest transformation going through the strategy steps of who are you about? Who's your audience? What is important to them? What are your content ideas? How can you put some content buckets in place so that there's a little bit more order? Now, for the agency founder to get to that stage, he had to have a lot of conversations with his sales team and with account managers, people in his agency who spoke to the clients all the time. And suddenly there was a much bigger awareness of pain points. Now, I don't like the word pain points, but what are people struggling with? What are they hoping to solve? And, you know, then positioning your service or product as the best options for that. And because suddenly we saw all these conversations, the content become much more appealing to their audience. Because I trained the agency owner and always asking himself, okay, so for this bunch of ideas, if we want this to be leads generating, how can you make this relevant to that audience persona, to Emma, to Steve, to Matt? What would they need to hear? And this is where the biggest transformation comes, when it actually is about serving people, right? Doing something helpful, and by doing that, getting noticed by the right people. So being aware of your audience, have a strategy in place, and really try and make them dance, walk in their shoes. What really is going on in their mind? Why am I worried about choosing the right supplier? What kind of information do you have to show them to make you the best choice and to build that trust? So I hope that helps. So transformation for this agency guy got onto some amazing podcasts, staying top of mind with their sort of prospects, and so not even just getting invited to pitch meetings, but also when he's hanging up with his clients, they see the post, they comment on it. And this was a guy who was really confused about what to post. I have so many ideas. No one wants to hear about me. No one is interested in my story. So real transformation. That's where I really get a kick. And then people building that confidence, but then also seeing the results for themselves and then transmitting that to their team, sharing out the goodness, the LinkedIn confidence amongst their team as well.
That's great. That's very, very cool. One of the criticisms that I hear about LinkedIn, and some that I experienced myself, is that you can have some pretty direct sales to a person type of, you know, hey, like they come and it says it's sponsored. Like I was LinkedIn being a business, they want me to spend $80 a month for Sales Navigator. I was like, oh, that's probably how that they got me. Can you talk a little bit about, maybe this is your opportunity to say like, hey, this is what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. Do you recommend people spend the $80 a month for these different tools? What are your thoughts on some of the more negative, direct salesy type of stuff that you see happening?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Now, obviously, I'm not responsible for LinkedIn. I also can't deal with people's LinkedIn feelings at scale. I can only do my best. So just to counter that, if I was going to counter that, you know, I find email marketing can be very spammy. You know, I get these messages sometimes where I have lots of words and I don't even know what they mean half the times. I don't even use my name. But I still, as a business owner, have made the strategic decision to fully embrace email marketing, right? It is so important. Now, on LinkedIn, oh my God, we all get it, right? We get all these spammy messages. Someone, we said, yes, we want to connect with you. And like, hey, Emma, I want to sell you this content automation tool, the one you always wanted.
And Emma's or like toothpaste.
Toothpaste, right?
Random stuff.
I know.
Why are you, that's a good point. Like, one of the things not to interrupt, like, they'll ask you, like, they'll say, you're an authority in this. I'm like, you don't know me. Like, no, I'm not.
Right? So this is, if you think about it, the behavior out there is so poor and so bad. Come on, let's just call it out for what it is. When you are a normal human being and you invest in building relationships first, you stand out in a good way straight away. Do you know, sell to people how you like to be sold to? Simple guidance, right? So Adam and Ivy connected today. I'm not going to post tomorrow and say, hey, Adam, are you going to buy my LinkedIn playbook? Because, you know, you said on the show that you want us on LinkedIn. Come on, buy it for me. That's not how it works. It's not how it works. I would want to build a relationship with that person. I actually want to find out more about them. Are they suitable for my services? What do they struggle with? Because it works both ways. So the main message here I want you to take away, as long as you're not contributing to that spam, it is actually quite easy to come across well and to build relationships first, because it is about relationships first and then selling when it's the right time. In terms of, Adam, you made a really good point. So LinkedIn has got all these different packages. So you can use the free version, the premium version, which gives you more access to the search functionality. You can also do some fancier things on your profile and have more analytics. And then we have Sales Navigator, which, you know, is amazing for account managers, for people who really need to use LinkedIn for large scale selling or getting into these really juicy companies. You know, it depends on which stage of your LinkedIn journey. Most people I work with, they actually do amazingly well just with premium. But if your sales team needs access to Sales Navigator, try it out. Try it out for a month. Get them some training on it, because it's a really powerful tool in terms of building up lists of prospects, knowing when they posted have something new, when they had like a change. So you can get relationships with them at scale relatively easier using Sales Navigator. But for most people I know, staying free works and then investing into premium as a first step. Because, you know, I think with all of these marketing investments, we can do so many different things. So make sure if you are paying for something that you're getting the value back in return. So sorry, long answer, but it is really, it depends on your circumstances. And there's lots of free training out there for all of them, on YouTube or through LinkedIn Learning. It's easy to get to know the different systems. I often find with LinkedIn, it's not so much the know-how, but it's the confidence. It's the confidence to be yourself. It's the confidence to see yourself as a content creator, right? And all three of us, we work in marketing. For us, we do this day to day, but most people are not so social media savvy. So it's about learning, hey, I do have something interesting to say. I can relate to my audience. I can provide value to them.
Adam, you and I, we need to do better.
I got work to do. I'm excited though. Like, no, I'm, yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, like I could do that. I am both properly shamed is not the right word. I'm humbled, but I am excited and now I am enthusiastic about, yeah, I can do this. And it's not hard. Just to get started, I think, is probably the takeaway. It's just like, I'm gonna post something today. Today is gonna happen. I have no idea what it is, but it's gonna happen.
Just say that.
That's good for accountability, right? And when Adam, the first thing to do is actually just look at your profile again, because this is like your shop window to the world. So for most people, it's been ages since we updated it. So I would just encourage you to look at your contact details. Do you know, do you still have that long codified URL for your profile URL, or could you actually just go in and edit that? Is your profile picture, you know, kind of looks like you? Are you smiling into the camera? Does it look professional? What does the text say underneath your photo? So particularly the first 40 to 60 characters, this is what people see when your name comes up on mobile or on desktop. So if you just have your job title, I'd say it's probably time to edit that. you've got 220 characters. Who are you for? How do you help them? You know, what would be a good talking point? Add a talking point if you can. I think I have in mind, I love pretzels. And that suggests, yes,
I was going to comment on that.
You have a pretzel emoji too.
Totally pretzel mad. I am not making this up. I've become a Lidl fan in England because they sell fresh pretzels.
They do, that's right.
I got to go to Cloudfest, was in a Europa Park in Germany last year. I'm planning on going again this year. And I took my son, and he ate, because they would have, like, it'd bring, like, pretzels, like, through the crowd.
Yeah.
And they were just amazing. So, yes, go to Cloudfest for the pretzels. It was incredible.
And alternatively, if in the UK, check out Lidl. The pretzels are amazing. I have not been paid by Lidl to say this. But the message here, the easy takeaway is, you know, give yourself an hour. Don't spend longer on this. Use ChatGPT or whichever tool you are comfortable with. Let it help you update your about section. Go back into your experience section. You know, is your experience section still relevant to what you do nowadays? Does it show the audience you want to attract, what you're about, what makes you that little bit different? Don't be afraid of thinking what makes you different. Maybe even reach out. Actually, this is a really good tip. Reach out to your network, to your friends. Adam, reach out to Emma. Emma, reach out to Adam and Bob and say, hey, Bob, you know, I'm working on my positioning. What do I do differently? What would you say about me? It doesn't have to be long, but just give me some feedback so that you can then build this in and you can make the AI-driven content sound a little bit more like you. So yes, homework for everyone. Apologies, I say homework. I'm a working parent. We talk about homework a lot. Update your profile because you want to make sure before you become more active that then people then click on your picture, that what they see is what you would like them to see. And accountability for myself, between now and Christmas, I will also update my profile. So let's just join the community.
We'll do it together. We'll check in on each other.
Let's do it. I just learned from your profile, Adam, that you like flying drones.
I do.
And I didn't know that.
See? Talking
point. There you go. But you do have numbers after your name.
I do have numbers after my name?
Yeah, 610. Oh, yes.
So that's an important, that's a date.
Oh, okay. So that's intentional.
That's my, when I, it's my anniversary.
Oh, so you wouldn't forget it.
I know.
But look, it's a talking point, right? It's a talking point.
It really is, yeah.
Do you know, think about what is it in your personal life that you'd be quite happy to talk about? So pretzels, I sometimes say I ride a scooter. Lately, I'm into jogging. It's nothing too personal, right? I always think, what would my mum say if she saw this on LinkedIn? My mum isn't on LinkedIn, but what would your perspective clients say, what would your colleagues say, your potential bosses? Because, you know, particularly now, just to keep it relevant to what's going on, there's so many redundancies, right? So I'm so sorry for people because I know from personal experience it can be really heartbreaking. One of the tools you have though is your LinkedIn profile to show what you're about, to show what you're interested in, to bring the contributions you've made in your team. So use that time to update your profile, to show yourself in the best light. It really is confidence building. And small actions, just tiny actions. You know, Adam said about maybe changing his tagline. Emma said she's going to update the experience section. These small things will build your confidence. I really do, because you think, I've done it and no one noticed, nothing happened. Because that's a reality, right? Not everyone watches our every move. They don't. As much as we would like them to, that's not going to happen. So it's okay.
They're not paying attention.
This is a good exercise to do, to like be proud of your accomplishments for the people that are like more.
Yeah.
Let's throw the humbleness aside and be like, I did that.
Yeah. And particularly, you know, related to the audience you're trying to serve. So for me, I think at the moment, is your social media really vanilla? Are you attracting the right kind of leads? Are you over-relying on referrals? Do you suffer with LinkedIn procrastination? All of these things I help my clients with. So to talk about these. Emma is smiling. I don't know why Emma is smiling when I said this.
Yeah. I liked it because it was like, do you suffer from LinkedIn something like you know, like it's like one of those ads that are a little bit more intense and it just giggled because it's about LinkedIn.
Do you suffer from none of your business?
I know exactly. I'm used to it and they're 10-year-old. Please don't ask me a question about this now.
I think so. It's funny, but it's also relatable in the sense, like, that's one of the things where I want to work on my voice in the sense of, like, what am I? Let me ask this more specifically.
is it more important to be consistent in, hey, I am this person and I only talk about this thing? And so just over and over and over and over again, if it's for an agency, we just talk about the benefits and agency. Or what about like, but I also like flying drones. Like, what do you feel as far as stay on brand? This is a business place. Facebook is where you talk about your, you know, other things. A little more guidance on that, because I know being a person, but I am trying to figure out, because I'm a complicated person with lots of interests about different things. I can't decide. I can't focus on one thing at a time. Staying on brand versus navigating different areas of your world.
That's a really good question. Now, I hate the word consistency. I just, sorry for the strong reply, because you know, there's a lot of LinkedIn advice out there. You must send 50 connection requests every day. You must spend hours in the DMs and you must be consistent above all. And the reality is we're human beings. Sometimes we have more to say and sometimes more things are coming up our companies and other times they're not. So should you be posting if there's nothing worth saying? Probably not. So I always think it's about quality as opposed to quantity. And that word consistency, I mean, I'm so German and I should be able to embrace it, but I just can't help myself. And I've really seen it with all the people I work with over the years. If you can adapt a routine which works for you, you know, like for some people, a 5 a.m. morning routine. I hated it at the time it came out. I had a really young child. Don't tell me I should give up some of my sleep. I'm already not sleeping. So make it work for you. But this is not a good question you asked me. You asked me about being consistent and being...
Staying on brand, being like I'm only going to talk about the agency.
Yeah, so I like to talk to people about the Wunder Content approach, which is my content model. And maybe very briefly, I'll talk you through it. So the first track, and you know, I said I like to look at this like a virtual event where you have different tracks and the mixture makes it interesting. The first track is really about the business founder, the agency founder. So why do you do what you do? What are your values? What do you do in your spare time? All the interesting stuff you just said, right, Adam, about like flying the drone, maybe going to get some pretzels. So that's really important. Why do you passionately care about that? Then the next track, equally important, is about your business, right? I call it the agency track because I mostly work with digital agencies. So show off your client success stories, show off your ways of working, show off your team. How do you make your customers or your clients feel? Because often, you know, marketing is a tough, it's very competitive, right? And as a marketing director, choosing a supplier is quite risky. You can get it wrong. So reassure people that you have a right choice. So far, we talked about you as the founder. We talked about the agency, the culture, the team, the processes. Then I like to talk about this relatable expertise. So notice I'm not saying authority. I'm saying relatable expertise. So what areas are you interested in, as well as your audience? Because, you know, you want to share something which is of value, something new, which excites people that can relate to. So I'd imagine for you it would be influence building. How do you build your influence consistently across all the digital channels? How do you become more visible? Maybe also entrepreneurship, depending on who you want to relate to. So pick a mix of topics which is interesting enough for you, but it's also on brand. Now, the fourth area, also really important, either people do not enough of it or too much of it, is actually what I call the leads gen track. So here you design posts which help you to get the people who are silent on LinkedIn, who are not confident enough to comment, to step out of invisibility, because you want to know who they are and you want to be able to open these fruitful conversations with them. So it could be client success stories, and then the learning point, it could be polls. I do polls usually once a week, or frequency works really well for me. So the key is to have that balance. And yes, if you have a bigger company, bigger team, you need to have some guidance. What is on brand for us? What is our writing style? What would we never say? What are we really proud to share? So often it's about having these conversations, and building a strategy and a style guide really helps you with that, as well as, you know, meeting up as a team regularly to have content ideas, signing them off, and then having people in place to make it happen. So it isn't a short answer, because everyone's circumstances are so different, but I think it's really hard to be totally off-brand. Okay, if you're a VA, you shouldn't say, I hate organizing and I can't stand going on client calls, right? Always think about whatever I say, what would my boss say, my peers, my potential clients, would it be okay to say?
I really like that. I liked how you're talking about, you know, this is what my clients are up to. This is something that they have successfully done. One area where I struggle with is should I do that from my agency's page or should I do that from my personal page? When do you decide on this is a company post versus this is your personal post?
Uh-huh. Really good question. So having a company page is a good idea if you have enough resources to make that happen. It's always going to be harder to get eyeballs on company posts, company page posts, because of that nature, people like to interact with people. But LinkedIn, right? LinkedIn is really investigating, investing a lot in making that better. Now, I just recently did a content plan, and actually what we figured out when we came up with the agency track ideas, those totally would work for the founder on the personal profile, but they also work on the agency page. So don't be afraid of repurposing. That's actually a good thing to do.
Reposting one at each other. Okay.
Absolutely. So you might say, as the founder on your personal feed, perhaps 3 posts a week. Maybe on the agency side, 1 post a week. Sometimes that 1 post could be just reposting what your founder has said. So frequency make that achievable for you. But hopefully there shouldn't be... If you thought about, okay, how would my perspective, clients feel about this, how would my family, my stakeholders feel about this, there hopefully shouldn't be too many posts you couldn't use on your company page. I always recommend personally for people to stay away from sharing political views. I just don't think it's LinkedIn is the place for it. Definitely have an opinion, but it's a business environment, so that would be a good guard. So hopefully that helps. So it's really a personal decision also what kind of business you're in. You know, if you're running a funeral service, it's different to an insurance broker, to the finance, but to a solicitor, right? So could take my ideas with a pinch of salt. I do work with mostly tech entrepreneurs, creative agencies, marketing agencies, so we can have a little bit more fun. It's okay for us.
Do you feel like there was some topic or question that we didn't ask you that would be helpful to the people listening?
Mm. Yeah, Jim, amazing questions. So I would take a circle back, it's my new favorite expression, to that first question, is how to really get started on LinkedIn. The one thing I'd like to mention, it's just so easy to actually look up your past clients, your current clients, colleagues, old colleagues, new colleagues, current colleagues, and connect with them. Because they're going to be like your supportive crowd. They're going to give you that confidence. And when you post, don't picture the scariest scenario. Just think, actually, you know, I'm posting this for my current client. I'm thinking of Adam. This is what Adam faced. This is what we delivered. This is why the team enjoyed it. Wouldn't you like to have success like Adam? I'm grossly simplifying it. But it's about that person. So see it as a person and build your own network of people who support you.
Very, very cool. The time has flown by. I keep having more questions that I want to ask, but we are towards the end of our time today. This has been inspirational, encouraging, humbling, because I know that I've got work to do, but I am enthusiastic about doing it, and I truly am going to do more on LinkedIn now after this conversation.
Wonderful. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Same here. I have mine open. So we can jump right into it. But yes, thank you. We've covered so much today, from just playing around on LinkedIn if you've never done it before, tips and tricks, if I can say that right, on what you can do today and some longer strategies. I have a to-do list, and actually took so many notes during this podcast. I don't know if you could hear my typing, but I was like, and then I have to do this, and then I have to do this. So if you guys want that list, I can share it with you.
Kim's going to share her notes.
Yeah. But before we wrap up, for listeners who want to learn more, get in touch with you, and maybe work on their brand and authority, just kidding about that. Where can they find you?
Nicole. So thank you very much, Emma, and Adam, brilliant summary as well. And I'm so happy that you got to embrace LinkedIn a little bit more, and I hope our viewers feel the same. Yeah, please come and reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's nicole.osborne. Or come and see my company page, wonderstars.com. You will find lots of free resources on there as well. I've got content ideas for agency owners, so come and take a look. But yeah, say hello on LinkedIn, and I'll do my best to accept your connection request and to say hello back. Let's be sociable.
It would have been hilarious if you were like, Facebook.
Find me on Facebook.
So not on brand for me, right?
Her TikTok page is blowing up. That's where you want to get
dancing videos, everyone.
Oh, very cool. Well, we are so glad that you have all joined us for this episode of Woo Biz Chat, where we talk about the Woo Biz and LinkedIn. These are all the different tools and areas that we believe can help you, our audience, grow your agency, your product company in the world of WordPress and specifically here about WooCommerce. So thank you for joining us. And so until next time, keep building. We're excited that people are here and join us next time. We'll be back soon if Bob will keep having us on.
Tell him in the comments.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.